You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
It is The Rob Carson Show, and by the grace of God, it is finally Friday. I hope you have a wonderful weekend with your families and your loved ones as you work your second and third job because of the Biden economy. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And in California, if you go to Panera, because Gavin Newsom, his buddy, owns a bunch of them out there, they don't have to pay $20 for a minimum wage for fast food employees out there, because that's Gavin Newsom. He is a sleazeball, slime bucket POS, is what he is. Gavin Newsom, honestly, that they would even float him as the possible replacement for Joe Biden is a joke, because he's like one of those guys that if you saw at a gym or at a bar, the ladies would be like, ew, he totally creeps me out. You'd be like politely, kind of like, okay, waiting for your friend to come and rescue you because he's such a sleazy, slime ball POS. Donald Trump came up with a new name for him yesterday.
And we weren't promising free education, free medical, free everything. I mean, all the promises that are made, no wonder they come. I mean, you look at what this governor, Newsom from California, isn't that his name, Newsom? What he's done to California.
Yeah, I like Newsom. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good impression of him. He's one of those guys, and nothing against you guys who do make your living as a slip and fall lawyer and run your commercials and cable television locally at midnight. But that's kind of who he is. that's who he is. He is a disgusting, just a filthy, disgusting human being and a rat. And his little frat boy buddy owns a bunch of Paneras out there in California. We'll talk about this at the bottom of the hour with our buddy Sean Farish. And maybe we'll even talk to President 45 and 47, Donald Trump, at the bottom of the hour. Here's what Mike Johnson said about meeting with Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer and who else? Mitch McConnell the other day.
We passed H.R. 2 almost a year ago now. Chuck Schumer's let it sit on the desk collecting dust. We'll continue to push it, every piece of it, every initiative. Because, listen, now the catastrophe is having real-world consequences around the country, as you know. Violent crimes, brutal murders, Lake and Riley, and others that, even in my home state of Louisiana, aggravated rape.
Okay, now do something about it. They're talking about, you know, Mitch McConnell stepping down in November. No, step down now. They're talking about replacing him with John Cornyn or another rhino like John Thune. No, hell with you. No, we want somebody in there who has some cojones. And maybe that's a woman. I don't know. But we don't have time for this nonsense anymore. We need somebody who recognizes the border crisis. Josh Hawley, Rand Paul. That's what we need. I like Ted Cruz. He was on TV last night. And here's what he had to say about getting a border deal done while America is screaming for it, while you're screaming for demanding it now, while you're cheering the governor of Texas actually doing it. He says this.
Unfortunately, I can answer your question. How likely is it that Congress will pass it this year? 0% chance. Why? Because Chuck Schumer and the Democrats don't want to pass that legislation. Look, I get asked all the time, why on earth would the Democrats allow this invasion at our southern border?
And we don't care.
The answer is they look at every one of those 10.7.
If you can't do anything about it, maybe it's time to change how you do things in Washington.
A million illegal immigrants. And they see them as future Democrat voters. They want them to vote.
No, it's more than that, Ted.
I think they want as many of them to vote illegally now as possible, but whether some of them vote now and others vote.
They don't care a whip about Chinese immigrants, military age males voting.
Later, the Democrats are interested in partisan advantage. And I got to say, Rebecca, I've never seen anything as cynical, as crass as what the Democrats.
Yeah, we don't care. Do something about it. Do something about it. It is the American people's number one priority. If the Democrat Party is tone deaf to it, is the Republican Party tone deaf to it, find somebody who will do something about it. Or by God in heaven, we're going to do something about it. We're sick and tired of it. We've told you. We've given your marching orders. Fix the damned border. We're tired of waiting. We're tired of the can being kicked down the road on the damn budget. We're tired of these continuing resolutions. We're tired of this $35 trillion in debt. And we're certainly damn tired about you mentally masturbating about shutting down the southern border. Get the damn thing done. Sorry. I had a little moment there. Maybe I should double up my meds. This is Oscar Ramirez on the border yesterday talking about what's really going on the Steve Bannon's show, actually.
Yes, Steve, the insurgency of weaponized migration continues in South America and Central America. And this is because of the Global Compact of Migration that it was agreed upon back with Barack Obama. Then Trump came in. He completely denied it. He was America first. Then Biden came in. It is clearly that he re-signed it. It's already on paper, without authorization of the people. It was an international treaty, not even consent of the Congress, not even consent of the Senate. And a lot of the countries down here, they are in this global compact on migration. A lot of the countries in Europe, they have completely banished this global compact because it's unsustainable. It's a complete disaster to sovereign nations. And it has, grown the organized crime and the cartel. Another of the things that is aggravated right now, Steve, that is happening down here is that it's an actual fact. Intelligence Department has led us to information that the Clan del Golfo, the cartel that it operates, thanks to Joe Biden and his open border policies, it is now clearly in cahoots working in Turkey, where there are migrants of China arriving, and clearly they have a vast investigation that they're possibly in cahoots.
It's not about votes.
100% with the CCP. This is big. Because this is the market. This is a human industry market. This is why Ben was explaining they have to keep this going. This is a humanitarian business. They're weaponizing this for their own agenda. And it is because all of this, the first thing that they need to do when Republicans gain power again of the White House is to get out of the global compact on migration, cut the funding of the UN, cut the funding of the NGOs, and secure the border, and that will be it.
There you go. Cut the funding of the UN. I'm 100% down with that. We have been nothing but bee slapped by the UN for decades, and it's time to convert that building into some nice condos. I think some nice condos would be good in the United Nations because it's a joke. It's corrupt. I mean, time and time again, we've heard, "Oh yeah, UN. They were a bunch of UN members were UN blue hats raping women in Africa and skimming money off the top and all." It's time to defund the United Nations. Honestly, it does nothing. It's no longer a force for good. It's a joke. The Security Council is a bunch of despots. It's a bunch of despots. Here is, let me see. Oh, yeah. This is some old audio from Donald Trump with a little bit of a little mashup of Donald Trump with, when he got called racist a few years ago because he wanted to shut down the border because he saw all of this happening.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. It's coming from more than Mexico. They're bringing drugs.
Traffickers are busier than ever. Hundreds of pounds of meth and cocaine hidden inside rocks being transported across the border.
300 pounds of narcotics were seized.
$400,000 worth of liquid meth.
The amount of fentanyl seized so far is enough to kill over 30 million people.
Where is it being produced?
The U.S.-Mexico border.
They're bringing crime.
Lake and Riley, her accused killer, came to the U.S. illegally from Venezuela.
An illegal immigrant.
Now listen to Ted Cruz, because listen, we've only got, March? April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. 8 months. So that's only like 80,000 people dying of fentanyl by then.
Who killed 19-year-old Adrian Sophia Exum.
The illegal immigrant who killed 5 people, including a 9-year-old child.
The man police believe killed 16-year-old cheerleader Lisbeth Medina, Rafael Gouveia Romero, who they say is...
I heard Bannon yesterday, and Bannon said, Mike Johnson, shut down the damn government. Nothing gets done. Nothing gets funded. No Ukraine, no nothing. Nothing gets done until the border is shut down. Have some balls. Maybe we need MTG in charge there. I'm not kidding. At least, she's crazy. Oh, really? Who painted her as crazy? The left painted her as crazy. Nonsense. We need somebody in there who's going to say, nothing gets done. I'm here for the American people. That's it. I am the Speaker of the House. Nothing gets done until the border is shut down 100%. That's it. Then you replace Mitch McConnell now. That's what's going to have to happen. I'm not meaning to be strident here, kids, but we are in existential crisis. We're in an existential crisis. And I am the Paul Revere here. All right? I'm the guy saying two arms, the British are coming, except we've replaced it with Chinese, and we replaced it with Iranians, and we've replaced it with Syrians, and all of that. This is our Paul Revere moment. Right now, not November. Rick in Parkville. Hello, Rick. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. Your thoughts today.
Welcome, Rob. Thank you so much. And I'm going to chime in on this, and then I'm going to give you a food recipe, my Italian, because I'm Italian.
Oh, come on now. I love that. I love it.
Yeah, well, on this, I would never want to take a life and hurt anybody, but this makes me more, you know, more emphatic about going and getting a firearm. We're going to have to fight this on this soil, because you're right. You're right on point. I'm tired of their talk, their rhetoric. Ted Cruz, you know, we're tired of it. We're sick of it. I'm irate about this. We're going to have to arm. I'm going to start lifting weights. I'm going to get in shape. And we're going to have to go out there and combat this with these.
Rick, you know. There's a reason why firearm sales have been going up since Barack Obama was in office, because the American people are afraid of what's coming. And there are more and more people that are saying this. This is why Joe Biden says that he's going after assault weapons, because assault weapons are weapons of war, which means that they are weapons we could use if our government turns against us. There's a reason why there were hints of the Democrat Party saying they were going to go after militias, because what they're going to try and do is steal the damned election. And if they succeed, they want to do like they did the last time, but worse. Instead of just filling Washington, D.C. with National Guard troops so we can't go in and protest what we felt was an unjust, and now we know the government was involved in the last election. So that's why people are doing it. And you know, I'm doing everything I can now to protect my family. And I've already done what you're describing, by the way. Because by God in heaven, if our government won't do this, if our federal government won't do this, then we will have to become the Minutemen of 2024. And the Minutemen of 2024 are of all colors, of all races. They are black. They are white. They are Asian. They are Indian. They are Pakistani, who, you know, all come here illegally, who have all been a part of this melting pot. But that we are in this moment. Go ahead. What?
This isn't a bad vote. You're right on point. Obama's got a lot to do with this. That scumbag, he's got a lot to do with this. He wants to infiltrate and turn this in. And as far as I'm concerned, I want the UN out. When Donald Trump becomes president, I want them out of my country.
Bye-bye.
You know,
bye-bye.
I want them out of here.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Rick. I do appreciate it. You know, and Barack Obama, we all said this, and I said this when he said it. They want to fundamentally transform America. Meaning, if you do that, you want to change it at its founding. And then the first year he was in office, the first Christmas, what was the Christmas ornament he had on the tree there? Mao. It was Chairman Mao. Yeah. You think that wasn't intentional? You think that Barack Obama saying that, hey, man, if I could, I would be in my sweats at home telling the person who was in charge of everything. You think that's called hubris. He says it with a wink and a nod because he knows he's going to get away with it. Duh. Here's Vivek Ramaswamy about what's going on in our country.
It is a 1776 moment right now. That's where we live right now. And you want to know, what does it mean to be a Republican today? It means we believe in the ideals of 1776. Mm-hmm. Ideals like freedom and merit and the pursuit of excellence. That you get ahead in this country, not on the color of your skin, but on the content of your character and your contributions. End affirmative action. End DEI. We are done with the nonsense. Send it back home.
That's right. 2024 is the year we turn from nonsense to common sense. National Border Patrol Council drew a stark contrast. How former President Donald Trump and Joe Biden were treated with Border Patrol agents, declaring Trump shows agents respect while Biden falsely accuses them of crimes. The union, which notes it represents 18,000 Border Patrol agents and support personnel assigned to the U.S. border, took to X on Thursday to lay out the difference between Trump and Biden. Biden said here, President Trump treats BP agents with respect, supports their mission and ideas, and Biden falsely accuses agents of crimes, burned the border to the ground, and only listens to the radical leftist base. See the difference? Yeah, we do. Now get that border closed. Brian, you hold on. You'll be a next. This is a Friday edition of the Rob Carson Show.
If the left tells you to quiet down, get louder. It's the Rob Carson Show.
There is a massive vigil for Lake and Riley today in Athens. I just saw it on Instagram. Probably, maybe 50,000 people. It is gigantic. And this could be the George Floyd moment for the country. George Floyd was used by the left. It was a lie. Lake and Riley is real. The Democrat District Attorney of Athens, Clark County, Georgia, has stepped down from the Lake and Riley murder case. As critics pointed out, she has never secured a single guilty verdict in a jury trial. DA Deborah Gonzalez announced Monday that Special Prosecutor Sheila Ross would take over the murder trial for illegal immigrant Jose Antonio Ibarra, who's accused of killing the 22-year-old on February 22nd. Since Gonzalez became the DA, her office has failed to prosecute a whopping 46% of criminal charges and has pleaded 130 felonies down. Three victims also filed lawsuits against the prosecutor, claiming that her office skirted legal procedures by not informing them before their respective offenders were offered plea deals and had their cases dismissed or... Listen to this. She also repeatedly failed to secure convictions in murder and rape cases and has only a handful of attorneys left in the office due to mass resignations. Yeah. Local attorney Kevin Epps told WSB-TV Gonzalez does not have the necessary experience to try the case successfully. Gonzalez has failed to achieve one guilty verdict in a jury trial involving any type of criminal case because she's a woke, Soros-supported DA. And here's what the idiot, vapid, moron Vice President of the United States says about progressive, what she calls progressive prosecutors.
Having progressive prosecutors, for example, who can show what is possible and then show that it works and show that, frankly, it's not contrary at all to public safety. In fact, it is a better way. It is a very effective way, among other ways, to achieve public safety.
Dumb as a box of rocks without the rocks. Brian in Baltimore, hello, welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Rob. A great show. Big fan. Remember back in when Obama was running for office? I don't remember which one. But he said that he wanted a citizen army as powerful and as big as the United States military and as well-armed. You remember that?
Oh yeah, and he purchased 1.5 billion rounds of ammunition for the DHS.
Right. So, I mean, the border, that's his army. Those people that are coming, they're votes, they're this, they're that, but that's his army. And the last gentleman that you had on that was talking, he is exactly right. We are going to have to deal with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it does make you wonder because he did. The DHS, he secured 1.5 billion rounds of ammunition. You've got Alejandro Mayorkas in charge of the DHS now. Alejandro Mayorkas has allowed this to come across the border, and now it is military age males. Yeah, you're right, Brian. Thanks for the phone call. I don't like to be alarmist in any way, shape, or form, but I'm telling you, Ted Cruz, we are not going to wait until November to secure the damn border. All right? Who's with me? I'm going to tell you right now, I know that 26 states are on the side of Texas, but we are not going to let our country fall. And I said this, Gen X has to save the world. Well, I know that Gen X and millennials came together to fight in Afghanistan after 9/11. I know that the greatest generation and the boomers came together to try to save the country and fought in Vietnam, even though they were lied to about it. And I believe we're at a point where we have to be the Minutemen of 2024. You know, and America's saying this. I told you, 77% of us believe the country is headed in the wrong direction. 77% of us can come together to save her, because the rest of this America hate stuff, this woke nonsense, is doing a face plant. And they've tried to do this to the military. The military has been weakened. We'll get to some Lloyd Austin audio later. But people don't want to serve in the military now. That's by design. So all I say is every day I say, just stay focused, guys. We've got to stay focused. We've got to stay aware. We have to realize that there are enemies within our government who are trying to take us down. This isn't about bringing people across the border for votes, although it is. And this isn't about, people picking our crops. This is much worse, much worse. And we've got to stop it now. We can't wait until November. Coming up, the president? Question mark. 45 and 47 on the other side of this break. This is the Rob Carson Show.
We won the last election. My campaign was perfection. They stole the vote, and we all know They raided Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, they did.
The FBI has got to go.
Yep.
They're not our friend. They are our foe.
Air guitar.
We're not gonna take it.
No, we're not.
No, you're not gonna take it.
Nope.
And you're not gonna take it anymore.
Come on, second verse, not same as the first.
Hillary deleted all her emails, and Hunter Biden should be in jail. You know I am right, and they are wrong. We'll win come this November.
You bet we will.
And this crap we will remember. Once and for all, let's drain the swamp.
Pave it over.
We're not gonna take it.
Come on.
No, you're not gonna take it. We're not gonna take it anymore. Believe me, we're not going to take it. I just have to.
This is the Rob Carson Show, a Friday edition. If I'm not mistaken, I am being told that we have the 45th and soon to be 47th President of the United States on the Newsmax hotline. Mr. President, welcome to the Rob Carson Show. How are you today?
Well, we're doing tremendously well. And I hear that song you just played. I remember when I recorded that, and it was a tremendous thing. It was a beautiful hit. You helped me with it because you're a very talented person writing the most beautiful lyrics. And, you know, if you put those lyrics on a teleprompter for crooked Joe Biden, he would have screwed it up really bad. So I'm happy you chose the right president. I'm happy you chose the right guy. And we did a very good job with that. You did a tremendous job with that.
No, there was no AI at all there. That is actually your voice. And I did like the fact that you came up with a new nickname yesterday, and that is for Gavin Newsom in California. For those who haven't heard, would you mind sharing it with everybody?
Well, we call him Gavin Newscum because he's a scumbag. He's a pretty scummy person. He's like swamp water. You know, he'd get along great in the swamp. Oh, and we have a swamp in Washington, D.C., by the way. It's terrible, and we're going to drain it. You know, we're going to pump it out like nobody's ever pumped it out before. We're going to drain the swamp and clean it up. We're going to do that.
Yeah. Now, in case you, and I know you know this, sir, but yesterday Gavin Newsom was exposed for giving a buddy of his a pass on a $20 minimum wage for fast food employees because his buddy owns a bunch of Paneras, and so that since they bake bread on premises, he decided to make that the carve out, so his buddy doesn't have to pay that, but everybody else has to. What do you think about the Panera not paying $20 an hour because of Gavin Newsom's buddy in California?
Quite frankly, I have to say it is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. You know, you have the left, they say they want everybody to pay their fair share, unless it's their friends, of course.
Of course.
Bernie Sanders was talking about, and I remember this, and I said it when we make the GPS video, you know, we said that if you go too far left, you've reached Bernie Sanders. And now he said $15 an hour minimum wage. Now we're up to 20. It's like an auction. It's it's incredible. It just keeps going up like a rocket ship, and that's why you're seeing inflation. But I think you understand. You see this? It's gross, and I don't love Panera. You know, it's only bread. Nobody wants to deal with bread. Gavin Newsom is a lot like a bread bowl when you think about it. He wastes a lot of bread, and that's why California is $80 billion in debt.
That's true.
And I also heard they created a sandwich in honor of Governor Newsom. It's called the Newsom sandwich, and it's vegan, you know, so it tastes horrible.
Yes.
It's terrible. There's no substance, and it's white bread because of his white teeth, and quite frankly, he's a very white guy when you think about it. It's also very oily. His hair.
Yes.
And I just have to say this. If I made a sandwich, it would be the greatest sandwich in the history of the world. It'd be a bestseller. Just like my sneakers. You saw those sneakers. They're beautiful gold sneakers. They were tremendous.
Yes.
Even Philly, you know, Philadelphia loved them. They booed me because they boo everything. But they booed me more than Santa because I'm more popular than Santa. Now, my sandwich would sell out immediately. Newsom is a sellout. I'm not a sellout, but my sandwich would be a sellout in a good way. It would be a great
thing. Now, Mr. President, I know you're very busy, and I know you got to go. So if you wouldn't mind handing the phone to Sean Farish, the nation's premier Trump impressionist, that would be great. Sean, are you there?
No, of course. Thank you, Robinson. always a blast when you come on here.
Dude,
it's always great.
It is. Oh, my God. You know, the reason I had you on is, A, because I love having you on, not only as a Trump impressionist, but also I check out your posts on all the social media because you're on fire. You're doing a great job. You're representing, I guess, were you millennial or Gen Z? You're right on the cusp there, right?
I'm technically a millennial, so on that I'll apologize for screwing my fault. I didn't do it, but my generation screwed up a lot. So.
Yeah. But you know what? Honestly, millennials, they did come together after 9/11. So there were a good share of millennials that did some good things, but there are a lot of, you know, they're the first indoctrinated from elementary school through college and woke nonsense. So there is that. But I did got it. You teamed up with Alex Stein. Now, to me, Alex Stein, he hits and misses. You know, sometimes he's really funny, sometimes not. He's there. He's kind of like poking the libs, and he goes in front of the city council in Plano near Dallas, where apparently it's loaded. The city council is loaded with lefties, and he got you on the phone as Donald Trump, and Alex Stein got to interview you on the phone and embarrass the Plano city council. Tell us how this happened, then I want to play a little piece of it, okay?
Yeah, so Alex messaged me on Twitter. I met him in November of 23 last year at Walkaway, Brandon Strzok, the founder of Walkaway. They had their convention, their 5-year anniversary, and there was a celebrity roast, and I roasted Brandon as Donald Trump, and Alex was a part of the roast as well. And he's a super nice guy. He's super smart. He's really funny. And so he messages me, and he's like, you know, I'm going in front of a city council today. You know, I thought it would be funny if Donald Trump called in. Would you be willing to do that? I said, of course. So we started, you know, shooting some ideas back and forth, and then he let me know when he was in a call, and he called, and we put it together. He said, it's only going to be a couple minutes. I said, perfect. And so we had a few ideas going into it, and it played out. And so the other day, actually, it was funny because before, like about a couple hours before he put that video up, O'Keefe Media, which just found Judge Engoron in a gym on Long Island, reached out and was like, could you come in our space and like do a little bit or something? So I was hanging out in the space with James O'Keefe, and Alex Stein was in there too. And so we're doing this. So Alex chimes in after I did a little bit with James O'Keefe, you know, being the president reacting to the Judge Engoron, you know, video where he's creeping out girls. And Alex is like, you know, I put a video, it's coming up later, but I just spit like my lunch out. It was hilarious. So when he put the video up, I totally forgot like what I said. I just remembered that it was kind of funny and he seemed pretty excited about it. But when I saw the video come up, that was, you know, I was probably one of my favorite bits, to be honest with you, just because of just the reaction of the council and his reaction watching his face. I didn't see him. I just heard him. But
oh, he played it straight. He played it straight. I'm going to play it real quick. Hold on one second. Let me play a little bit of this because it's absolutely magnificent. Hold on. Here it comes. Hold on.
Said, you know, I'm happy that you're talking to the city council. I hear they're tremendous people, and I hear we're going to be bringing these shoes in. These are tremendous shoes. They're out of a Nikki Haley and an Escalade. You know what I'm talking about? We want to see the children. We want to see them wear the shoes and perform in the shoes and do a tremendous job in the shoes. Isn't that right? Isn't that correct? Isn't that correct?
Yes, President Trump, you making the shoes mandatory for all school uniforms in Plano School District would be great, and I think that would help the city. But I'm telling you, the mayor here is one of these woke mayors. He loves all the transgender stuff. As a matter of fact, he actually wants to put mandatory gender reassignment into the schools, state-sponsored.
Well, I think that's terrible. And, you know, the only person that I talk to who goes from man to woman, his name is Lindsey Graham. You know what I'm saying? He sits when he pees, but... you can look at it and you can talk about all of these different things. I think it's a terrible idea what you're doing. And I think we should absolutely look at this.
I'm going to go to the end of the phone call. Here it is real quick. The in front of the Plano City Council, Sean Farish and Alex Stein.
Tucker Carlson.
I got along very well with Russia. I got along very well with Putin. And we're going to get vengeance on Ukraine. They tried to do terrible things to Tucker. He's your biological stepfather. You look just like him. And we want to help him. We want to make sure that he survives. Protect Tucker at all costs. That's what we're going to do.
President Trump, they're kicking us out. Thank you, President Trump.
That is just, Sean, that is freaking brilliant because, and I've been saying this for a while, Sean, conservative comedy is on the ascension because the left isn't funny anymore. And you took a bit – before the city council, and you made a powerful point with humor in front of the people in charge, man. And I hope you realize this is what we got to do. We've got to overwhelm them with joy and patriotism, and we've got to reclaim mockery, ridicule, and comedy. And you're doing it, bro. That was epic.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I was actually, you know, obviously really happy that, you know, to work with Alex, because I love, you know, when he goes in front of these councils and he just calls them out. And,
yes.
You know, I think it, and well, my favorite Alex Stein clip is probably when he called AOC a big booty Latina.
Yes. Yes. He did it on Capitol Hill. He did it on Capitol Hill.
So, but, you know, to be able to do it in front of the council, you know, to mock these people, and then to be able to kind of throw some shade at some of the rhinos who aren't doing their job. Like, yes, Lindsey Graham, you do sit when you pee. Like, we understand
yeah.
that. You know, I get it, right? And that's a joke that I've been making for a while. I will say, you know, you're right. I think we do need to get back to mocking these people. They don't deserve any better treatment than that, right? I mean, these are bad people, you know, to say what Trump would say. These are
Sean,
sick puppies.
On a serious note, because you and I, we have a similar stories. We both came out of presumably nowhere and now are in the national spotlight. We've been blessed and we've been given the platform to do what we do best. And I'm really fortunate and I respect your opinion. What do you think about this border situation? What has to happen now? Because I don't think we can wait until November, bro. I don't think we can wait until November.
We have to. Something's got to be done now, and America has to remember what happened under Democrat president, Democrat Congress, and what could have happened. You know, the fact that Joe Biden, and he's playing both sides of the fence right now, the fact that Joe Biden right now is telling everybody that he doesn't need, or that he needs an act of Congress to act here and shut down the border is nonsense, because you're hearing also that he plans to, through an executive order, try and stem the flow of illegal immigration at the border by himself. So he never needs an act of Congress. The whole idea was that, you know, Congress would set up this bill. They'd set the Senate would send it back down to the House. They'd get it passed and get it signed by the president. And obviously, you know, it would look like Ukraine and Israel would be getting the money. But it's called the border bill, right? So what needs to happen now is this whole border needs to be shut down. I mean, it's got to stop, because every single day, you're getting a new story about a violent crime committed usually against a child by an illegal immigrant somewhere in the United States. And I'm not just talking about Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and California. These are stories that are coming out of Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Rhode Island, Chicago. You know, these are not border states. Utah, there's another one coming out of Utah, an 11-year-old, you know, sexually assaulted by an illegal immigrant from Guatemala. And I'm not saying that all of the people who are coming across the border, all 7.3 million people, are bad. As a matter of fact, I've usually conceded the fact that, you know, it's probably true that the overwhelming majority of people coming across the border are truly in search of a better opportunity. And I understand that, and I'm sympathetic to that, but there's a process. You know, you can't just barge into my house and say, well, I'm looking for a nicer place to stay than where I'm at now. Well, it's not your house. You can't come in unless I invite you. So, you know, that's what's happening here. And if there's 7.3 million illegals that have come into the country under Joe Biden, which is the number that we got from CBP, which means that's the encounters, not the ones that they didn't see. Let's say 95% of them are good people. That leaves 5% of 7.3 million. That's 365,000 people that can do something really, really bad in this country. And it's 365 days in a year, right? That's 1,000 people a day that can cause a problem in this country for an entire year.
All right.
It's got to be fixed. People
I know, bro.
Are really, really, really hurting.
I appreciate you coming on today. We are out of time. You are also known as Captain Deplorable, Sean Farish. Tell everybody where they can find you on the web, where they can check out your podcasts and whatnot.
All right, the best place to go is my new website. That's farishmedia.com, FARASH media.com. You want your voicemail greeting to be one from the president? You've reached the greatest voicemail in history. I will do that for you. You can order that on the website. It's amazing.
Yes.
And the podcast is on Rumble, rumble.com/LFATV. It's called Ungoverned. We go live at 5 p.m. Eastern.
All right, bro. You're the man. You are a phenom. And we're going to take this country back, my friend. God bless you and have a glorious weekend, all right?
Thank you, Rob. You too.
All right, let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show. Sean Farish is a genius, and I met him a few years ago when he was just kind of starting out the infancy of his Trump impression. He had some friends he used to hang out with. He'd do this Trump impression, and I remember I had him on the show, and he did the Trump impression, and he didn't have any jokes. He was being Trump, and I said, dude, you can't be Trump. You've got to be someone who is outrageous. You've got to be Trump, but you've got to do jokes, and he did it, and he just he's become so good at what he does. And I've worked with the best of the best of the best of the best of the best impressionists. Jim Gossett, one of them, by the way. And Sean Farish is amazing. And he, you know, again, like me, and I was selling cars when I got discovered by Chris Ruddy. Sean Farish, too, he was on stage with Donald Trump doing his Trump impression. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So we know that the world is in turmoil. We know that things are going to get much worse. I heard Bill O'Reilly talking about something's going to happen this year, and it's going to be very bad, and we've got to be ready for it. And you're going to need to be ready for it. And one of the things you need to have is an emergency medical kit in your house. Fortunately, the wellness company came up with it. You know why? Because Dr. Peter McCullough was so deplatformed, so maligned by the CDC and HHS when he said simple things like, hey, ivermectin works. Ivermectin works to stop or prevent COVID and make the symptoms much less. And he was right. Hydroxychloroquine, too. But your federal government said you couldn't take either one of those. And so he came up with this emergency medical kit. He's got Dr. Drew on board, Dr. Harvey Risch on board as well. And you can get this emergency medical kit with life-saving meds like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, Z-Pak, among others. And all you got to do is go to this website. It is, write it down, twc.health/Carson. twc.health/Carson. They've also got a new contagion kit, among other things. Yeah. Butezonide with a nebulizer is in that as well. All right? So all you got to do to save 10% is going to twc.health/Carson. twc.health/Carson. If you would do that, then get that kit. You got to get it done, guys, because I don't know what the hell's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you one thing, and I hear this from more and more people. It's like, something's going to happen, and, you know, we're losing our country. And I don't want to hear, we're losing our country. Bullcrap. Bullcrap, we're losing our country. Stop it right now. Stop saying we're losing our country, because we have the power to stop losing our country. Got it? So enough is enough. We've got some great positives happening. We've got the Fannie Willis case collapsing. We've got the Trump immunity case in front of the Supreme Court. The left is freaking about it. You know why? They don't care about justice. They don't care about Donald Trump, justice being served, because they know the charges are bullcrap, and they think that one guilty verdict is going to stop Donald Trump from being the president. It's not going to work. We got Donald Trump in Florida delaying this idiotic document case, among other things. We have this absurd ruling in New York City with the fine that Donald Trump is supposed to pay for doing nothing. And if it's that big a deal, then every real estate mogul in New York, they need to go after him. They need to. Otherwise, it's just political. But of course it is. We're winning. I've got more good news on the other side of the top of the hour. This is the Rob Carson Show.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The Nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Web. This is the Rob Carson Show.
This is the Rob Carson Show, and by the grace of God, it is finally Friday. There's a lot of stuff happening in the news right now. My buddy Lee, who just happens to also be my boss, the CEO of Newsmax Radio, said one of the defense lawyers trying to disqualify Fannie Willis just said reprehensible during his closing. Sounded like the D.A. Trotter and My Cousin Vinny when he said identical. Okay, that's kind of, this is actually Newsmax. If you're watching Newsmax live, this is Attorney Gillen right now talking.
That's exact. And what these answers are absolutely reprehensible that a member of the State Bar of Georgia would file these answers that are inaccurate. What does Ms. Wade do? Ms. Willis do? Ms. Willis, on her financial report, on whether or not she has gotten anything of $100 or
more. So anyway, that's going on with Newsmax right now. And as things progress, we will keep you updated. But this is one of the cases, obviously. This one tainted. Fannie Willis got $14 million from the Biden administration. Went to Washington, D.C. with her lover, Nathan Wade, who literally billed for 24 hours of work straight while he was there. That's how crooked these people are. And these are all political indictments. I said it from the very beginning, coming from the White House. This is illegal. This ultimately should put people in jail. Because this is, I don't even know what the charge would be. Is it treasonous? I don't even know. You're interrupting an election. You're interfering with an election. And, of course, MSNBC, they're butthurt about it. They're freaking out about it because they don't care about justice. All they care about is convicting Donald Trump. And I got to tell you, when you sell your soul that badly that you're willing to see someone who is innocent go to jail for your political ideology, there's nothing can be done about you. You have to be shut down. Because we can't live in a country like that. We can't. I'm not going to. I don't know how you are, but I'm not going to live in this crap. Joe Biden steals an election. I'm not going to live in this crap. Not going to go down like this. No way. Not going to happen. And all of these cases right now are, with the exception of the joke of a case in New York, the two of them, the ruling by the supposed rape victim, $85 million judgment, and then the Letitia James judgment. And by the way, if overestimating the value of her property via bank loans and then paying them back is a crime, then Kathy Hochul needs to go after every single real estate developer in New York City who has done that. And they need to fine them to the point that it drives them out of business. If it's that important, and it sounds like it really is a big deal, it sounds like a real crime, they all need to be taken down. That's it. But she already said, no, everything's fine. Once we got Donald Trump, we're fine. Do you want to live in this country? Because I do not want to live in this country. I'm not going to accept it. Not going to accept it. This is something Jim Gossett did for us this morning.
It sucks to be you. Fannie Willis, you're through. Jack Smith is a clown. He's going down. Feel bad for you. Supreme Court stepped in. Hope they do it again.
I do too.
Tell Letitia James, stop playing games. Alvin Bragg too.
All corrupt.
The tide has been turned.
Come on, people.
They're gonna get burned.
I hope so.
Judging Iran is one major con. He's going down too. Their cases fail. Bonnie and Jack belong in jail.
That's right.
Letitia James, too. Alvin Bragg, too. It sucks to be you.
I am your retribution. I am your retribution.
It sucks to be you.
Nice. Nice. Banana, banana. This is Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. For 2 years, she said that Russia collusion was real. She had Adam Schiff on and everything. And then we find out that the Russia collusion, they were trying to say that Donald Trump colluded with Russia to throw the election in 2016. It was a lie created by John Brennan. The FBI, the DHS, the CIA, all involved in attempting to throw the 2016 election, successfully throwing the 2020 election, and now they're working on 2024. But here's Rachel Maddow. She has got her, I don't know if she wears panties, I'm not even sure what, maybe a jockstrap, in a bunch.
Now, if you think about the court as the Supreme Court of the United States and a rational actor and a decent one, that was a reasonable supposition, and it just turns out they're not that. Incremental bit of progress here. The important question here is not whether the Supreme Court is going to decide that Donald Trump and all presidents are immune from prosecution for things they commit, crimes they committed while they were president. I mean, it would be fully insane for them to actually side with Trump here, right? The conclusion that we can arrive at now based on what they have done without having to wait for the ruling is that they are ensuring that Trump will not face trial. And when they inevitably rule that presidents aren't immune from prosecution after they leave office, what that will tell Donald Trump, if by then he is president, is that he can never leave the office of the presidency.
Right.
And if he is voted out in 2028, he cannot leave office.
You are just so high. I can't even believe it. What a complete moron. She's supposed to be, I guess, educated, Ivy League. I don't know what the hell she is. Honestly, it's ridiculous. Here, this is your mainstream media the last 7 years, okay? Because every other week for the last 8 years, actually, they've said, oh, it's over. This is over for Donald Trump, and they've been wrong every stinking time.
Why do you think these attacks are becoming so much more frequent now?
It's not surprising that Donald Trump is increasing his attacks. The walls are closing in on him.
There's a Star Wars.
Just stand there, try and brace it with something.
It feels like the walls are closing in on the White House.
It feels as if the walls are closing in here.
I think the walls of justice are closing in
right
on
here.
President Trump.
Increasingly desperate, feeling like the walls are closing in. The president clearly feels all the walls closing in on him in terms of the Russia investigation.
The walls are closing in.
I think at this point, the walls are spinning.
It does feel like the walls are closing in, but I think that the administration at this point can start to see the walls closing in.
He feels the walls closing in on him.
Everybody he talks to says the walls are closing in.
This is another potential wall closing in.
As it appears, the walls are closing in terms of the Mueller investigation.
The walls are closing in.
The walls are closing in.
I do feel that he feels the walls closing in on him.
Legal walls are closing in on Donald Trump tonight.
From a Democratic perspective, this is the president who feels like the walls are closing in.
As he feels the walls are closing in,
any indication that, legally speaking, the walls are closing in on the president?
Feel some of the walls closing in on him.
Yeah, there you go. The walls are closing in. They've been closing in forever, and they keep coming up with new stuff. And you know the thing is, karma's a biatch, isn't it? It is. And it's a universal truth. Karma is a universal truth. It's the yin and the yang. It's evil versus good. And sooner or later, evil gets caught up with, and it gets beaten. And the people who have bedded down with this for the last 8 years, the people who put us through all of the things they put us through and our country through, they're going to pay for it. They are going. This is the retribution we talk about. And I'm going to want it. I am going to want it. I'm telling you right now, I am going to want retribution for the punishment of the American people. I'm going to want retribution for the January the 6th protesters. I'm going to want retribution for the people, 1,300 people arrested while the people who burned the country in the summer of 2020 were let free. I'm going to want retribution for the censorship we went through. I sure as hell want retribution for what my kids went through on COVID. And I won't be happy until I get it. Will not, will not, will not. Here is Greg Jarrett talking about the Fannie Willis case disintegrating.
You know, her case against Trump is disintegrating. Her testimony, together with her lover, Nathan Wade, and his ex-partner, Terrence Bradley, I mean, that was a Three Stooges slapstick comedy. But Bradley's testimony this week may have been the nail in the coffin. He once texted that Willis and Wade were absolutely having an affair before Wade was hired, which puts a lie to their sworn statements earlier. So based on the code of ethics, I think the judge really has no choice here. He should disqualify both Wade and Willis. And then the question is, well, where does the case go from there?
Right,
if it's so tainted, other prosecutors may decide we're going to dismiss the charges.
I'm glad this has happened because it exposed everything that do you have any idea how corrupt this country is? I mean, we're thinking we're the guys with the white hats. We are not the guys with the white hats. And the really sickening thing is we have the First Amendment backed up by the Second Amendment, and they ran over both of them. And the people in charge of our country, particularly the CIA and the FBI and the DHS, they aren't wearing white hats. They're not good people. The agencies have turned against us. That's just it. Glenn Beck, one of his journalists, has been arrested by the FBI this morning. I don't have all the details on that, but they literally told him he was at the Capitol covering the event, and they told him to wear flip-flops and sweatpants so they could haul him off to jail. And from what I hear, they hauled him off in handcuffs for four misdemeanors. With Catherine Herridge now is being charged with contempt and being fined $800 a day for not revealing a confidential source with information about FBI corruption. These are the jackbooted thugs that we've heard about. They are. This is MSNBC. And turn this network off. Find their sponsors and boycott them because they are staffed by communists. Van Jones, Lawrence O'Donnell, among others. And here they are talking about the First Amendment and talking about how great the First Amendment is, but only if it's a certain kind of political speech, and that would be leftism.
Some of our greatest strengths can also be our Achilles heel. So, for example, our deep commitment to free speech in our First Amendment. It is a cherished right. It is an important right in democracy, and nobody wants to get rid of it. But it makes us vulnerable to claims that anything we try to do to regulate speech is censorship. Of course, the Supreme Court has held that all fundamental rights, even the right to free speech.
This literally parrots scripts from North Korea and Cuba. This is how the media sounds there.
Can be limited as long as there is a compelling governmental interest and the restriction is narrowly tailored to achieve that interest. But I think anytime
a compelling governmental interest, meaning if you disagree with the government, that's the speech that can be restricted. That's disinformation. That's Joseph Stalin.
Someone tries to do anything that might limit free speech, people claim censorship. I mean, just look at the case the Supreme Court heard today about efforts by the states of Florida and Texas to prevent social media companies from moderating content online.
And and she went on to talk about how social media is, follow First Amendment on social media. That's true. But social media led you to believe that it was a free speech enterprise when you invested a lot of money in Facebook, when you tried to boost posts, and then restricted which speech would be allowed after doing that, and then worked with the federal government. I told you, the left is like movie vampires when they die, and they lash out and they try everything. That's what MSNBC is doing.
Soul is mine!
Just like movie vampires. Clawing and grabbing to drag you into hell with them. I ain't going to hell with them. They can go to hell. Little Lost Boys action for you. One more time. We're going to win, but there are a lot of tribulations to get to enlightenment. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. So they are in a disqualification hearing in Fulton County, Georgia, disqualify Fannie Willis from the sham case against Donald Trump. She threw together at the last minute. They wanted to do 19 defendants, including Donald Trump, just like they do in Cuba. And a bunch of bogus charges about throwing the 2020 election, which we now know was interfered in by the CIA, the DHS, and the IRS, among others. And this has been going on for a while. And we've, you know, I think we've just had enough. I've had enough. I don't have any time for any more debate or discussion. I'm not going to talk to, you know, anybody about, you know, MSNBC and hear, you know, their thoughts on it. There's no debate about it. We are in the midst of a, you know, an attempt to take down the country as founded. That's just the way it is. It is. I got to share this because this really ticked me off because I grew up poor in Iowa. On a farm, every morning I got up, we did chores before we went to school. Every night we came home, we did more chores. That's the way they do. People in the Midwest and all across the country in breadbasket states bust their butts every day so you can eat. And a lot of them just happen to be white people. You know the word redneck come from? You got an idea where redneck comes from? It's because farmers, when they sit on tractors all day and they wear short sleeve shirts, you get a farmer's tan. It goes from just above your elbow to your hands and then around your neck, and that's what you call a redneck. It's people who work really hard out in the sun all day. They're called rednecks. And this is what MSNBC, they had a guest on this morning. He's written a book about how racist the people that feed you and do all your fishing offshore and do a lot of your construction and all of that, how racist they are because they just happen to be a certain color. This is MSNBC, so I can play it here. Hold on.
We lay out the fourfold interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to the country. First of all, and we show 30 polls and national studies to demonstrate this. So we provide the receipts in Chapter 6. They're the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, and anti-gay geodemographic group in the country. Second, they're the most conspiracist group. QAnon support and subscribers, election denialism, COVID denialism.
What I tell you about vampires.
Scientific skepticism, Obama birtherism. Third, anti-democratic sentiments. They don't believe in an independent press, free speech.
You're absolutely high because the press actually goes after conservatives and has for at least 30 years because I've been a part of it.
They're most likely to say the president should be able to act unilaterally without any checks from Congress or the courts or the bureaucracy. They're also the most strongly white nationalist and white Christian nationalist. And fourth, they are most likely to excuse or justify violence as an acceptable alternative to peaceful public discourse.
So you mentioned a lot of negative factors.
The left has been sacking and burning the country exclusively since the 1960s. And they put the pedal to the metal starting in 2020. I'm done with it. You know, I'm done with it. I was born the way I am. I've never been racist. White nationalism is a tiny portion of the population. The KKK is a Democrat-founded organization. And I got to tell you, I'm just done with this. I'm done being tired of being called names. Joe Biden said this morning that people who say climate change is bullcrap, which it is, are Neanderthals. I don't have any time for it anymore. And this isn't about white people, by the way. This is about all of us. This is about a thought. This is about a mindset. This is about a conservative apartheid, which I've been saying has been going on in this country for a very long time. And we really are in a revolutionary period right now. Vivek Ramaswamy said we're in a 1776 moment here. I have never, when I grew up, we watched the Jeffersons, we watched All in the Family, we watched Good Times. I wanted to be like rerun, hey, hey, hey. I watched Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. That would be called like something like, Gravity Challenged Albert and the Inner City Youth. It would be that stupid. We didn't care. We watched Sesame Street. We didn't care. I've had black girlfriends. Oh, my God, no way. Really, is it serious? That can't be true. Yeah, you know why? Because nobody cares. The name-calling and the violence of the left is coming to a screeching halt, and they're trying to pin it all on us, and it isn't going to work because their house of cards is coming down. Let's take a break and come back, my friends. This is The Rob Carson Show.
Hey, it's Tony Marino, host of the wildly popular Newsmax Daily podcast, available for free along with Jerry Callahan, Rob Carson, and other great podcasts at newsmax.com/listen or wherever you get podcasts.
It's time to make common sense common again. It's the Rob Carson Show.
I love the weekend because I enjoy cooking. I really do. I am always looking for something to do. And when you cook a great piece of beef, which Leticia James is wanting us to stop eating, you can compliment it or you can smother it. All right. Now a McDonald's cheeseburger, it deserves ketchup. An Omaha steak burger, no. There are some things you can do to compliment an Omaha steak burger. You can, well, I'll mention this real quick because I mentioned this the other day. I want you to write this down if you get a second or just think about it, okay? And maybe post it on social media. Take and make a paste out of butter, salt, pepper, fresh rosemary, all right, and gorgonzola, all right? When you're doing your burgers or your steak from Omaha Steak on the grill, right before you take them off, put that on top of it. Shut the lid of the grill and let it melt. Oh, my God. It is ridiculous. And right now, Omaha Steaks has their semi-annual sale, 50% off everything on the site. What? Yeah, 50% off everything on the site right now. OmahaSteaks.com/Carson. But it gets better. With qualifying orders, 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers on select packages. OmahaSteaks.com/Carson. All right? So, again, butter, fresh rosemary, salt, pepper, gorgonzola. Oh, gift from God. It'll work on the steak, whether it's one of those beautiful, beautiful, mouth-watering butcher's cut fillets or the pure ground beef burgers. And again, 50% off site-wide and with qualifying packages, 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers, and they are ridiculous. OmahaSteaks.com/Carson. OmahaSteaks.com/Carson. And I know I've got your salivary glands going, don't I? Yes, I do. Peter Galluli is the CEO of the wellness company that is revolutionizing emergency medicine in this country, in the home, and he joins us on the Newsmax hotline. Hello, sir. How you doing today, and how's business?
I'm hungry now that I'm listening to that steak bit.
I'm telling you, man. It is, you know, here's what I believe. I say all things in moderation and occasionally to excess. And if you're going to eat real food, eat real food. Butter is real food. Gorgonzola cheese is real food. Neither of them will give you heart disease. What gives you heart disease is crap like Crisco, like margarine, and all of that fake junk. That's what gives you heart disease. So you're better off eating what your grandma made for you. That's what I got to say. And it just also happens to be really, really good. So
I completely agree with that. We get questions about nutrition all the time at the wellness company. You know, people ask you things about like seed oils, right? I mean, have you ever heard of a canola tree? Because it it's a man-made oil. Don't eat it. It's terrible for you.
It's terrible. I remember back in the 90s, I was working in Minneapolis, and they came up with this product called Olestra, and they made corn chips out of it, potato chips out of it, and Olestra, it's this fat that doesn't get absorbed, and some of the side effects were extreme diarrhea and oily stools, and I'm like, really? Do I want to eat potato chips that badly that I want? And of course, it did a face plant because it's not natural. Here's an idea. Just eat a little less. Just eat a little bit less. Unbelievable. So now the wellness company, you guys, obviously, I'll just be out front. You're a sponsor of the show, but I wanted to have you on today because I've got a lot of questions about what you're doing. I know that there are a lot of people who are very concerned about what the hell's going on in the country. The WHO literally is saying we need to be concerned about disease X. We also know what the world did to us with COVID. And I know that the wellness company is doing something about it. What do you know about that?
Yeah, so there has been disease X a lot in the news, especially since the WEF hosted an actual panel sponsored by AstraZeneca in January in Davos about disease X. It's been recently picked up by Fox News, and even the mainstream media is talking about it, which, you know, should actually make us think maybe we should be taking this seriously. But I think viewers should think about the kind of long-term view here, right? I mean, we lived through bird flu, swine flu, monkey pox, chicken pox. I mean, you name it. I mean, there's a trendy name for every sort of sickness out there. There's going to be another sickness. There's going to be another disease. Don't fall for this pandemic fear-mongering and mask up and social distancing. The best thing you can do is just be prepared. Have life-saving drugs in hand. It's not if, it's when. We're all going to get sick, and we can just be prepared. We'll be fine.
And, you know, considering the supply chains, I don't know if you heard this the other day, and I've been talking about this, there is the threat of a strike of East Coast ports. They're saying that three of the U.S. five busiest ports, Port of New Jersey, New York, Savannah, Georgia, Port of Houston also, they're saying could have some supply chain disruptions happening. You combine that with, you know, pharmacies being robbed blind around the country. You don't know when you're going to get your meds. And you guys are putting meds that people really need, like amoxicillin. I can't tell you how many times I've taken amoxicillin or Z-Pac. Remember my kids, their bird flu was going through years ago. I couldn't find Z-Pac. And now you guys are putting the medicines in your emergency medical kit that we weren't able to get. And also, I might add, the meds that the federal government said you couldn't take, even though they were affected, like hydroxychloroquine, right? And I would assume the public's like, this is a great idea. How's your reaction?
We've been blown away by the reaction, Rob. Like, we did not anticipate it at all. And I think it just goes to show you that Americans are sick and tired of relying on the central government for telling us what to do, right? I mean, they want to take their health into their own hands. They don't want to be backed into a corner like they were during COVID. And our medical emergency kits are right up there now with, you know, stockpiling food, ammo, and gold as critical things that Americans need to have on hand to be prepared for the next crisis. To your point, you know, we have ivermectin in our medical emergency kit, incredibly popular, incredibly safe. And our medical emergency kits also have a 32-page guidebook that shows you how to use safely each and every one of the medications and medical supplies that we offer, because when it is an emergency, you don't want to be guessing.
Yeah. Also, I want to ask you a question, and what have you heard about this? And I didn't get the vaccine. My family got the vaccine. And, you know, I'm a little nervous about it because I've seen, like, blood clots being found in bodies after autopsies. And I wonder, you know, because I'm very careful about what I present on the air here. Because, you know, there are a lot of conspiracies out there, and there's some other things that we know that the federal government lied to us about. What do you know about that? Have you heard anything about it at all?
Yeah, so Dr. Peter McCullough is on our chief medical board, and he's a practicing clinician several days a week out of his office in Dallas, Texas. He sees people, and, you know, he is the most published cardiologist in the United States. He sees people every single day that come to him with myocarditis, blood clots, and other side effects from the vaccine. It's basically overtaken his practice at this point. And, you know, clinically, he treats these people with natural substance primarily, like nattokinase and others that have been shown to help dissolve blood clots and spike protein in the system. And that's really the culprit here, is that the vaccines have about a million times, and I'm not exaggerating, the concentration of spike protein than an ordinary COVID infection, and it lasts in the body much longer. I mean, it's a genetically engineered product. It's mRNA, modified RNA shot, and that's how it delivers the, you know, so-called, you know, put in air quotes, therapeutics that are supposed to help people against disease. And I won't go into the whether or not it's actually doing anything. I think people can probably surmise where I fall on that that spectrum, but the fact of the matter remains that the testing about the long-term effects of the COVID vaccine was not done. Obviously, it was called Operation Warp Speed. So we don't know what the long-term 5 to 10 year safety profile of these vaccines actually are. And for that reason, I urge any American that was, you know, coerced or otherwise led to believe that the shot was necessary for their safety to go look at some options to detox. We have some great ones at the Wellness Company, and there's a lot of other options out there that you can pursue.
Well, and Dr. Peter McCullough has said that if you are concerned about it, some of you aren't, I get it, but if you are, he's literally telling you how you can detoxify your body from it. So, listen, I really appreciate you coming on today. I'm glad you're out there. I know a lot of people are following your lead. I'm seeing emergency medical kits pop up everywhere, but I'm going to trust this because you guys got Dr. Peter McCullough, the most censored man in medicine during COVID. You got Dr. Drew on board because, you know, I mean, I know Dr. Drew. I've been listening to him since I was in college, for crying out. Well, not college, but right after, and I just think you got a great company, and I thank you for being on the show this Friday, and I hope you have a great weekend, sir.
Thank you so much, Rob, and your viewers can go to gwc.health/Carson and use code Carson to get 10% off.
All right, my brother. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Take care.
TWC.health/Carson if you want to get the emergency medical kit. Listen, they're a sponsor. I wanted to have them on because I had some questions I wanted to ask. Because I get people asking me, like, ask them about the blood clots. Blah, blah. So there you go. And I trust them. I trust them. I'm trying to think what I want to do right now. What do I want to do right now? Do I want to be serious? Do I want to be not serious? We've had a hell of a show today. Holy hell. I mean, a freaking crazy good show today. Not even, I mean, ridiculous. Deplora Bella called earlier today. And then Barbara from Baltimore, she called in today. And we've had some really funny satire on there and everything today. And so, you know, I think I'm going to do is maybe, do you want to hear something funny? Should we hear something funny? Here is a bit that I haven't had a chance to play yet for you. And it is, where is it? Oh, I got to find it. I do all my on audio, so I've got, you know, everything here. Oh, here it is, here it is. This is, you know, Hunter Biden was behind closed doors with congressional Republicans. All of that has been, all of the transcripts have come out. And Jim Gossett came up with this. Patreon.com, Jim Gossett Comedy.
When Hunter testifies, oh, when he testifies.
He did testifies.
He tries to deceive, but no one believes his lies.
I like this old school country, not the new stuff.
Hunter, he is shady.
Oh, shady.
Knocked up a lady or two.
Well, at least one.
When you interrogate him, he'll just start lying to you.
Let's hear that chorus, shall we?
Cause when they get behind closed doors.
My dad used to like this song.
You will never get the truth.
No, you will not.
Hunter, he will lie for his old man.
Yeah.
Hunter's dishonest when he gets behind closed doors.
Not too bad on the high end there, James. Not too bad at all. Yeah. So, this is kind of funny. Eric Swallowswell. Eric Swalwell. He appeared before Congress yesterday. He wanted to be a little funny because, I don't know if you knew this, but he was banging a Chinese spy, literally, when he was just running for office and literally bedding down with a Chinese spy for like a year, right? And then when it was discovered, the Chinese Communist Party removed her for the country. They ordered Chinese takeout. And so she left. Her name was Fang Fang. Oh, you pretty chitty Fang Fang, pretty chitty Fang Fang, I love you. And so yesterday, James Comer was questioning and Swalwell's chiming in. And, you know, Comer said, we're conducting a deposition. And Swalwell says, yeah, but you've got 91 of them buried, you know, talking about the charges against Donald Trump. And Comer says, I don't care what your question is. And then back and forth and back and forth. And then apparently Swalwell thought he would be funny. And Swalwell was talking about a transcript, and he says, is that going to be in Russian or English? Like there's some sort of Russia collusion or something with Donald Trump, like being a joke and all that. And then Comer said, excuse me, what's that all about? And I would have said, if I was Comer, would you prefer it in Chinese? I understand pillow talk is a great way to learn a foreign language. That's what I would have said to him. That's what I would have said to him. But he contradicted himself. He did admit that he was Joe Biden was the big guy. He did admit that he got a lot of money, including from Yelena Batarina, who is a Russian oligarch, the ex-mayor of Moscow who died, gave Hunter Biden $3.5 million. He said, my dad didn't come for dinner. I believe he probably had a Coca-Cola and a bowl of spaghetti. At Cafe Milano, you don't have a bowl of spaghetti. I went there once with some people at radio who lied to me about what they were going to do for me and never followed through. You know, they wine dined in 60, you know, that number, which means fried rice, I believe, in Chinese. 69, I believe that's fried rice. Or it could be mushu pork. That was a dinner in 2014, by the way. And Bat Arena sent $3.5 million just 10 days after eating with Biden. And then, of course, Hunter threatened this Chinese guy, saying, "My dad's sitting here, and unless you give me the money, I'm going to get all sorts of, you know, this and that and all of that." And then his name was CEFC Chairman Yi Jing Ming, right? And they're sitting there. And then, like, 10 days later, Hunter Biden gets millions of dollars from him. And now Hunter Biden is saying, "I was drunk and high." Well, I got to tell you, if you're that drunk and high, if you're sober, you probably couldn't got $20 million. Yeah, but anyway, all of this is coming down on the Bidens. Very obvious they're corrupt and it ain't going to work to try to cover up anymore. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. So today's show has been epic. If you would like to check out the podcast, just go to your usual podcast platforms and subscribe, because today is, out of control. Sean Farish on the show. We had Deplora Bella on the show. Magnificent comedy, monologues, audio, kaboom. I mean, honestly, I think we're fulfilling the promise. And every day I come in here, I do this to live. I do. It's the most important thing in the world to me. And I'm here because I want to serve you, I want to entertain you, I want to inform you, and I want to motivate you. This is a little piece I want to play from Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is, I like Joe Rogan. I don't disagree with him. Agree with him on everything. But this isn't about Christianity. This is about faith. This is about coming together spiritually. And I want you to listen to him with regard to the times and what we need to do to come together and save this country.
But I think as time rolls on, people are going to understand the need to have some sort of divine structure to things, some sort of belief in the sanctity of love and of truth. And a lot of that comes from religion. A lot of people's moral compass and the guidelines that they've used to follow to live a just and righteous life has come from religion.
Yeah, faith.
And unfortunately, a lot of very intelligent people, they dismiss all of the positive aspects of religion because they think that the stories are mere superstitious fairy tales. Nope. That, you know, they have no place in this modern world, and we're inherently good, and your ethics are based on your old moral compass, and
nope,
we all have one, and that's not necessarily true.
No, it isn't.
We need Jesus.
Whoa, hello.
I think for real. Like, if he came back now, it'd be great. Like, Jesus, if you're thinking about coming back
right now,
now's a good time.
Yeah, pretty soon. Yeah,
now's a good time.
I don't think it's necessarily about Christianity, although Judaism and Islam recognizes Jesus Christ. They have differing ideas of who that person was. And I'm not meaning to proselytize, because I don't like to proselytize, but I do believe that we are facing the biggest challenge the United States has ever faced since the Civil War on our soil and in our government. And we need to come together. And part of that is in faith. And I'm praying every night. 10 o'clock Central Time is when I say a prayer for the country and for you and for those who are suffering and the Jewish people in Israel and all of that. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show today. All right. Again, go to all your podcast platforms. You want to hear this show, or ask Alexa. Play the Rob Carson Show podcast. Let's take a break. Come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. Have a blessed weekend with your family. Check out my TV show, Rob Carson's What in the World, this weekend on Newsmax. It is off the hook. God bless you, America, Israel, and the people of Israel, and the Jews. And until Monday, don't catch the stupid. I'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. You can help by clicking the sponsor links in the show notes and take advantage of some great discounts available only to our listeners.